You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning we're back in Hebrews. I'm coming to you from chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Hear now what the writer of Hebrews has to teach us. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things having come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So if we unpack that passage of Scripture just a little bit, there's a point. And I'm going to give it to you right off the bat because I want us to understand where the writer of Hebrews is coming from before we even begin to deconstruct it a little bit. The point is that God still wants to cleanse us even today from the things we have done that would otherwise lead us to eternal death. Let me state that again. God still wants to cleanse us even today from the things that we have done that would otherwise lead us to eternal death. So how do we understand this passage from God's Word? You see, in ancient Judaism, blood sacrifice of animals was the accepted way for people to atone for their sins. A person would bring the best, most perfect animal they could find or purchase. They would bring that animal to the temple and give it to the priest, who would then take it to the inner court of the temple and sacrifice it on the altar to cleanse that person of their sins. Now, it was understood that it wasn't a permanent atonement. It had to be practiced regularly to keep that person in a state of atonement, or we might even say today, a state of grace. But Hebrews is telling us, but Christ entered into the most holy place just once, and that was enough. The blood of animals was not sufficient. Goats, calves, and bulls could not take away our sins permanently. It took Christ's blood to do the job, and once Christ's blood had done the job, there was now no further need for anyone to ever sacrifice blood again. Because Jesus is the perfect sanctuary and sacrifice. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. You see, in this passage, we see several types of Old Testament sacrifice. You might have noticed, or maybe you haven't, the ceremony in the book of Numbers, chapter 19, where they take the ashes of specifically a red heifer, and they mix those ashes after the beast has been sacrificed and burned on the altar. They mix the ashes with water and they use those ceremonially to cleanse individuals of their afflictions, skin diseases, whatever was going on with them physically It was believed that the ashes of a red heifer would cleanse them from that affliction. What the author of Hebrews is trying to tell us here is showing us that there is no sacrifice in the Old Testament that Jesus' blood does not replace. His blood is so effective that none of these earlier ceremonies need ever be done again. Jesus has taken care of those things with his own blood once and for all. And so Hebrews is telling us that to sanctify a person especially means to cleanse them of their sin. And when we are sanctified, we are washed clean. To sanctify also has a more basic meaning. Sanctification sets you apart as holy, as belonging to God. You're no longer yourself, but now you belong to God. Does that make sense? Because of Jesus and his perfect sacrifice, we who believe are no longer common. We are no longer outside of God. The blood of Jesus does what the blood of animals in the old covenant could never do. It sets us apart as holy for God. Christ is the high priest. As it says in verse 11, the high priest of the good things that have come. See, there's a verse in the next chapter of Hebrews that talks about how the Jewish law had a shadow of good things to come. The good thing to come was the atonement, the permanent atonement provided by Christ, of which the law of the old covenant only gave a foreshadowing by way of its animal sacrifices. Hebrews 10 will tell us when we get there that our consciences could not really become clear under the old covenant, but they can by the new covenant, the way of Christ, and the new covenant that he brings to us. That doesn't mean we discount the Old Testament. It just means that since Jesus came and manifest God in the flesh, some things have changed and changed for the better for us as believers. See, some scholars of the Old Testament would say that the real power for cleansing in sacrifice was not so much the death of the animal, but in the powerful life of the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "The life is in the blood." Well, not the blood of animals. The life is in the blood of Jesus. Imagine the power that Jesus' eternal spirit brings for our forgiveness and for our cleansing. The blood of animals might cleanse our skin, but Jesus' spirit has the power to cleanse our spirits. And that's cleansing of a whole different magnitude. Jesus is cleansing us from dead works so that we can truly worship the living God. What are these dead works? Hebrews 9:14 tells us in some translations, the NIV most specifically, it translates that phrase dead works into acts that lead to death. Mention of the living God may remind this congregation that there were many in that world who worshiped idols, which were not alive like the God of Israel. There are many idols that we cling to even in this day and age. What things or people have you made an idol? It's a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand or jump up and volunteer. What do you place ahead of God in your daily priorities? It's a good time to give that some thought. Anything that supplants your focus on God can become an idol if you're not careful. And so you might think from time to time, what takes me away from seeking the face of God? What distracts me in and of this world that makes me focus on it rather than my relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His only Son? What takes you away from seeking the face of God? Hebrews reminds us in this passage here that God can still cleanse us from the things that we do today that lead to eternal death. Jesus' spirit is a spirit of life from the dead. The power of His life can still give life to us, not only for eternity, but also in our living from day to day in the here and now. All we have to do is give ourselves over to Him and allow Him to live in us. It's easy to say, it's not necessarily so easy to accomplish. Why is that, do you suppose? Think of the things that have been on your mind this week. Make a mental checklist and then put a mental gold star next to those things that are of God and see how many gold stars you have on your list. Now, I venture to say that most of us, myself included, don't have as many gold stars as we'd like to have. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul reminds us, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Look at somebody and say, Jesus gave Himself up for me. For you, by name, personally. For you. If that's the case, shouldn't we respond by prioritizing Him above everything else in our daily lives? Now, don't think, Pastor said, I don't have to go to work tomorrow. It's not what Pastor said. You can go to work and put Christ ahead and in the middle of all of it throughout your day, throughout your week. You absolutely can. Do everything as if unto Christ. Whatever you do honors God if you do it with that intention. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. We are made acceptable by Him to God the Father. His perfect sacrifice providing for us a perfect atonement for our sins once and for all so that we might receive His righteousness and be held blameless when we enter the court of God the Father. And to that, all I can add is to God be the glory. And so together we say, Alleluia. Alleluia. One more time. Alleluia. Alleluia. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.